Good to see each and every one of you here this morning. And as we kind of move into this month of January is just it's just kind of like, can I just say this word, like hangover? I mean, can I say that in church? You feel like you kind of have a Christmas hangover. Anybody feel like that? Now, you're not going to, okay, not really. You don't have a hangover. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a Christmas hangover, meaning like you have this this exciting Christmas season, right? And you're full of joy and family, and maybe I shouldn't have put those two words together. Sorry. You're full of family. And you have fun and you're joyful in the Christmas season, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like this hangover, which, you know what I mean by that? Maybe some of you know what I mean more than others, but it's just like you feel like, oh, I'm exhausted. It's just been a whirlwind of visiting family, of buying gifts, of hurrying up and wrapping presents and making sure you get to this dinner and that family, and you have to travel so far, and you've got to, I'm telling you, and then January hits. And it looks like this outside. It's just gray. It's snowy. And you have to find something to do. And it's just like, okay, here we are. We're living in northern Michigan in the wintertime. And so you feel like there's just been this pinnacle of Christmas. And then January and February come. And so as I was thinking about this, I mean, thinking about Christmas, and have you ever had like buyer's remorse, right? Like, what, you know what I mean by buyer's remorse? There's a thing called buyer's remorse. I remember I had this one time when I was a kid. I worked at this great pet shop. It was my first job. And I was 14 years old, and I was just, I mean, it was the greatest job ever. I loved, like, I loved animals and stuff, but I was really into, like, fish tank aquariums and, like, you know, keeping that kind of stuff. And so I remember I was 14. I'd gotten my very first couple paychecks, and I remember saving those paychecks, because obviously when you're 14, I mean, I was like that. I was a saver. I didn't really just like buy stupid things here and there, and I was a saver. And I remember when I was I had enough money to buy my very own fish tank. And so I know I wanted this huge fish tank in my room, and my parents were like, hey, go for it. Let's do this. And so I remember it was this huge, like, 50-gallon, I mean, we're not talking fish tank. We're talking fish tank. And so I remember when I was doing this, I got my employee discount, and I was so excited about my new fish tank. So I collect all my cash, and I went in that one of those evenings. My parents drove me to my own work. I was off that night. And so I remember I had this fish tank picked out. It was the one I've been looking at for a long time, because I was just making sure I had enough money to buy it. And so I knew that it was this fish tank, and I needed this filtration system with it. And you had to buy all the fun stuff that goes along with fish tanks. You guys are looking at me like you've never had a fish tank before. Anybody have a they're fantastic. Little known secret, some of you may know this, I still have a fish tank. I moved on to, obviously, I'll talk about fish tanks later. But so I was so excited. All this, you know, you got to buy all this stuff with it. And I was it was so fun. And I finally got enough money to buy this fish tank. Well, as I reached into my pocket, everything was like kind of together. It was on this big old cart ready to be taken out to our vehicle. And so I reached into my pocket. I started handing out the 20s, more 20s. More 20s, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is added up, holy cow, and I'm empty in the pockets. And as we were pushing this cart and this thing, we put it into my mom and dad's van at the time, and I'm thinking, what did I just do? I'm broke. I just spent all my money. I mean, like, I went through months of savings, months, in one moment. And I had buyer's remorse. And my dad's like, aren't you excited? I'm like, oh, yeah, kind of. And I just realized, it was like, I am broke. I'm broke as a joke, and I've got this great fish tank, but should I have any of the buyer's remorse? So maybe some of you have done that before. I know that throughout life, that hits you once in a while. You know, if obviously a couple $100 on fish tank and a couple $100 here or there, that's not as big of a deal anymore when you're an adult. Maybe it's a new car, or maybe it's a house you bought, and you kind of go, oh, we're broke. Well, hopefully you're not in this feeling that way today, because obviously after Christmas, this, I call it this Christmas hangover of like, whoa, we just spent all of our money. I'm just feeling like, holy cow, what did we just do? Well, I want to talk a little bit about stewardship today, and I want to talk about not just talking about money, not just talking about you know, how much money we have, how much we don't have. I don't want to talk about that today, but I want to talk about stewardship. Because as I think of like January, I think of this time of we may be feeling like this buyer's remorse of, yeah, we spent a lot during Christmas. We had to buy gifts for this many people. We had to do this for this dinner, and it just adds up. But I want to talk about stewardship. I want to talk about this because this is a huge theme throughout Scripture. Stewardship of what God has entrusted to us. What God has entrusted to us. So I want to talk about understanding that what stewardship really is about is how we manage our time, like how we manage our talents. And of course, the other T is how we manage our treasure. And that's stewardship. God has given us so much. God has given us so much. And again, like I said, I'm not talking about all money today. God has given you so much time that we are blessed with time. God has given us talents. You know, he's given you gifts and abilities and things that he has made you to be. I know that I got into this game way too early in my life of comparing myself to somebody else. Don't do that. Never compare yourself to somebody else. Because I remember I got into that a little bit, especially as a pastor, as I listen, as I watch people or as I listen to other preachers on TV or something like that. I'm like, I don't want to get into that. I mean, because if you look, and here's what my hang up sometimes is that some of these TV preachers, or you see these preachers on the internet or going to YouTube, they've got teams of people, teams. I'm telling you, I'm promising you, teams of people doing all of their research, all of their study, all of their illustrations and things, and they're like, here you go, Pastor. Now here's a great sermon. And so I begin comparing myself to those people. And to go, man, I'm a horrible preacher. But realizing that don't do that. Don't do that. Don't compare myself. Don't compare yourself with other people and their gift sets. But yet I want to be a good steward of what God has gifted me. I want to be a good steward of who God made me. And so I want to share with you today that we need to make sure that we're good stewards of the gifts and the abilities that God has given you and not to compare yourself with anybody else. And so as I think about understanding that, like Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, this is a fantastic passage. This isn't really where we're gonna camp here this morning, but I wanted to mention this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I mean, this is a classic passage of Scripture. We're talking about treasure, talking about stewardship. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So let me just dumb this one down for us. We understand what this means, right? Like where your heart is, where your interests are, where your passions are, that's what you're going to throw your money at. Guilty. I'm guilty. We're guilty, right? I mean, I love to deer hunt. I mean, I don't think that's a secret. I love to be out in the woods in October. I love to be outdoors and throughout the whole year. But one of my hobbies, I've had to like dwindle it down. I mean, you know what I mean, guys and gals, when you have too many hobbies, you just got to take away a few because they just get too expensive. So the one I loved, I just kind of like dwindled it down. I love to deer hunt, bow hunting and especially. And so making sure that where my heart is, my passion, I love to do that. Yeah, there's times where I'm just like, okay, I guess I got to put my treasure toward that. Guilty. So we've got this passage of Scripture. It's not foreign to us. Well, so where your treasure is, where your money is, what you put your money into, that's where your heart is. That's where your heart is. And so what that challenges us to do, it challenges us to say, okay, is bow hunting really a passionate, God-changing, kingdom-shaking thing I should be putting my money into? No. When you think of eternity, when you think of other people who are in need, when you think of other things, it's like, yeah, I'm guilty. So when I read this passage of Scripture, understanding what stewardship is simply understanding that our heart is what comes first, and our treasure should follow and be put in place where we should be. I remember when we think about when you think of like tithing, you know, you've heard that word tithing before. And again, I want to just mention to you this morning, those who are listening online today, and maybe those in here today, if you're not a Christian, if you don't adhere to Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, like this isn't for you today. So, like, you can get your phone out if you want and play on it. I'm totally cool. Like, play a game or something. But this is for the Christian, because I want to make sure that we as Christians, God-fearers, God-followers, understand what Christian stewardship is. And so, obviously, if you're not a Christian listening in today, I mean, I want you to hear this, because this is the Word of God. And I want to take some examples here from God's Word, but I remember my earliest recognition of tithing. That word, it's a biblical word, tithing, which comes from the tenth, 10%. And so, not really going to get into that too much today, but I want you to understand that in the biblical concept of tithing, it's taking the first fruits of your profit, the first fruits, the first, not what's left. The biblical concept was taking the first. So if you are if you have grain in your granary, if you have grain in your silos, you take the first, the top 10, and that belongs, you give that to God. And then 90% is what you work with. And so in our economy, in our society, we deal with paper money. We deal with money. That's our economy. And so understanding 10%, a biblical look at 10%, is not the whatever's left after the bills are done, not whatever's left after you've gone through Christmas and all of the other stuff. It's whatever's left. Oh, maybe God will, I'll slip a dollar bill and give it to God. And it's the tenth, it's the tithe. And so that's the quick synopsis of a biblical tenth. And so I remember my earliest recognition of understanding what tithing is. My dad was faithful to God. And I remember we lived in the Detroit area, and he worked for General Motors. And as they were going through some changes at General Motors, they were buying people out. Have you ever heard of that before? It's called the buyout system. And, they just kind of say, well, we need to thin things out. The company needs to get thinner, so we're going to buy people out. My dad took the buyout. You can say, here's a big lump sum just to go bye-bye. So my dad did that in faith and understanding and say, God is going to take care of us. Well, it'd been a little while, and he's looking for other jobs, and I don't remember the whole scenario. I was little. I was young. But I remember he would always say, we're never going to stop giving to God during these rough times. We'll never stop tithing. We're not going to stop giving, even though I don't have a job. And he never sat me down, and he never said, Jim, I want to teach you what tithing is. He never did that. What he did was he just did it. He just showed me. He just showed me, and he just kind of did it and said, yeah, we're going to continue to give. And so my dad got a job in 3 weeks. And then that job was more of a temporary job for him, and then he found another job, a higher paying job, and it just moved up from there. And even in between, and you can tell my dad's still alive today, he'll stand up here and tell you, the great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. See, God is faithful to us when we are faithful to him. And so I remember that lesson that my mom and dad, of course, they were constantly blessing God and understanding that this is God's and he allows us to be a part of it. So I want to take a look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. It's kind of a lengthy passage of scripture, so we've got it on the screen today. But if you want to grab your phones, if you want to take a look at a Bible, that's fine too. I'm reading out of the NIV. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30, and it says this. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted. Everybody say the word entrusted. Entrusted. All right? Entrusted. So he called upon his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went on at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. All right, so let me pause there. Hopefully everybody's grabbing a hold of this scenario going on here, right? So the master in this story, he has some of his people, his employees, and he entrusted the wealth, the master's wealth, with these 3 men. I love what it says in verse 15. It says, according to their ability. According to their ability. I've talked to many people about money, finances in the church and things like that. And I find that I talk to a lot of people and just like I can say it this way. There's so many different people that think that life should be fair, right? I mean, I'm getting old enough to know that life ain't fair, right, Steve? Life's not fair. Sorry, I didn't mean to pick out an older gentleman. No, Steve is one of the wisest guys I know, I'm telling you. No, it doesn't take a long time to know that life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. And I love this passage of Scripture. And Jesus is teaching. He said he's entrusted the finances to some five bags of gold. And to another one, just one bag, it just because it's according to each person's ability. Listen, we all have different abilities and capabilities. Some are good with money, some are bad with money. Some can be entrusted with a bunch of wealth. And we know people like that. You and I both know people. It's just like, they're loaded. Well, you know what? Because they can be entrusted with it. And others, our abilities may not be according to what God has for us that time in wealth. Anyways, I'll move on. And so let's pick it up. The man who had received, verse 18, but the man who had received one bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. Verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received five bags of gold brought the other five bags and said, Master, you've entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. Verse 21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. He said, Master, you've entrusted me with two bags. I've gained you two more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 24, then the man who had received one bag of gold came. He said, Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed? Question mark. Verse 27. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I returned, I would have had received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they will have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you see in this parable, in this story that Jesus is talking about, understanding that we need to be sure. You've heard this before. If you're a Christian, if you've been a part of a church anytime, you understand that in some translations of the Bible, it talks about talents. I like this, how they say bags of gold, because we can identify with bags of gold. But the word talent, this Greek word talent, it really kind of correlates to 20 years of income, one talent. So if you've learned this passage in a different version of the Bible, it talks about five talents, two talents, and one talent. But I love the NIV. That's why I wanted to read it this morning. It just says gold because we get gold, right? You guys get it. And so when we think of a bag of gold, they're literally talking here. Jesus is talking here about 20 years of income. 20 years of income. So it's not like this is just like a group of guys that are just like, hey, here's a quarter, go do something with it. This lifestyle, this is a lifestyle of giving. This is a lifestyle of what stewardship looks like. This is a lifestyle, 20 years. It's a lifestyle. And so we think about what stewardship is understanding that God's the master. I know this may be obvious, but I want to make sure we all get this. God's the master in this story. He's the giver of all things, right? He owns it all. He owns it all. He's like, oh, here's 5 bags of gold. Here's 2 bags of gold. He owns it all. He says, I'm going away for a while. Who do we know that's like gone away for a while but yet coming back? Jesus. And so we see that he's going away for a while. And he's given us, he's showing us that he's given us these abilities and this bag of gold, 20 years worth. 20 years. And he's entrusting it with us. He's entrusting it with you. I mean, this is what he has given. God is the provider. And so this talent, this word, this Greek word, this talent, or in this translation is this bag of gold, represents a lifestyle, a whole lifestyle of stewardship. You see, this is a commitment that you and I need to have towards stewardship. Jesus is talking here that he's the one giving you this, X amount of dollars in your pocket, X amount of time in your day, X amount of talent in who you are, in your gift set, a lifestyle. So for those of you who are like bent out of shape right now, like, oh man, and maybe you're brand new here to the church. Oh, talking about money, my first Sunday here. That's awesome. No, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about who God gave you to be, your talent, your time. A lifestyle of commitment to understanding that God owns it all anyways. God owns it all anyways. He's the master. He can give you 5 bags of gold. He can give you 1 bag of gold. And the question is, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Now, I've heard sermons talk about burying your talent, right? I mean, the last guy, he's the guy that digs a hole and buries it and puts it away. But I want to show you something that I found in this passage of Scripture that was pretty interesting. You see, the reason why he buried it was that found in verse 24. Johnny, if you're going to throw that one up, just verse 24. The reason why he buried it is it on that one? There we go. Nope, one more. There we go. 26. Sorry. What? It's not there? Oh. Anyway, I have it here. Or you have it on your cell phone. So, let me read it. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and said, Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown or gathering where you've not scattered. So I was afraid, verse 25. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. You see, what I want to point out to you something really quick is that third employee, he said something that was pretty interesting that I read, and that you can read over it really quick, but it's pretty interesting. He said, Master, he said, you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. What does this mean? The servant, this employee, if you will, sees his master as harsh, uncompromising, and authoritarian. I mean, you ever felt like that way toward God? Like God is just up there just making my day miserable. Like God is there just to ruin my life. I remember feeling that when I was a non-Christian. Like God is up there in heaven just kind of going, I'm going to make his life miserable. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Why would I want to become a Christian? You see, this servant, this third one who was given the 1 bag of gold, he said, listen, I'm scared of you. I'm scared of you. I'm burying this thing, and when you return, that gold will be there, and I'm just going to live my life and do whatever I want to do. It sounds like a few people I know. It sounds like a few people I know. If you ever met a non-Christian, obviously you've met a non-Christian. If you ever talked to a non-Christian, if you ever talked to somebody who doesn't know God the way you know God as a Christian, that's their attitude. Eh. Eh. I'm just going to hide that. He'll come back someday and we'll deal with it then. We'll deal with that later. You see, the servant, that he didn't know his master. He didn't know his master. He didn't know who God was. And I'm afraid, church, and I'm afraid that for those who don't know God, this is their attitude toward money. This is their attitude toward stewardship. This is their attitude toward giving of their time, giving of themselves. Like, no, I'm good. I'm gonna hang on to my money. I'm gonna hang on to my gifts that God has given me. I don't need to serve. I don't need to love. I'm good. And you see, the crazy part of this parable, Jesus talks about in verse 30 at the end. He says, let's jump back for verse 29. For whoever has will be given more, and they will be having abundance. Whoever does not have, even will they have, will be taken from them. And thrown that worthless servant outside into the darkness, will there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Has anybody ever read that in the Bible before, and what is it signifying? Say it out loud. Yeah, hell. That's the place where, in other passages of scriptures, the weeping and gnashing of teeth will take place in hell. And so we see this, that third servant, the one who said, I don't want to know my master. I'm good. I'm just going to bury that, and I'll deal with it if he ever comes back. If the master ever comes back. I know that people have been talking about it for a long time, that there's a second coming of Jesus Christ or something, but I'm good. I'm good. And that servant's like, Master, I saved your money. I really did. Look, here's your gold. I did. He said, you know what? I never knew you. I never knew you. And so as we think of this lifestyle of stewardship, of who we are, who God is, what are your gifts? Maybe God has blessed you. I know God has blessed you. And when you get to the point, when you understand that God owns it all anyways, right? That God is the Lord of your life. God owns your bank account. God owns your house. God owns your cars. God created you. He's gifted you with the abilities. And so we think that those abilities are ours to pleasure ourselves and others around us. You see, when we get to the understanding that God owns everything, that tithe word, remember that? Maybe I've lost some of you already at the tithe. You're like, oh, he's talking about tithing. I'm done. That tithe word shouldn't bother you in the least. Because guess what? I always say this. You've heard me say this before. God owns 100%. 100%. And he lets us have 90. That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good, right? If I said, "Hey, I'm gonna give you $100, right? I have $100 bill, and I'm just gonna give you 90 of it, but I'm just gonna keep 10." You'd be like, "Cool, you never had $100 in the first place. It's all God's, anyways." So I'd rather have $90 than zero. You get my point. God owns everything, and so as Christians, we have to go, God, this is yours. If you need it right now, this is yours. If you need it right now, this is yours. Some of you in this church are phenomenal, man. Holy cow, I look to you. I look up to you. I'm not going to point you out because I don't want to take your blessing away. I don't want to take your blessing away, but I look to you. Some of you in our church, you're just like giver. You're a giver. You're a giver. And it's like, wow, man. You know what sometimes, like for me, I struggle with is my time. Giving of time. Giving a time. Let me give you some examples of what time is. We get 24 hours a day, or it's limited. Time is limited. We get 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's 168 hours a week we get. Okay, so if those of you who are math, hopefully my math's right. So when we talk about the tithe, tithing our time, that's 10% is over 16 hours a week that we should be giving to God. 16 hours. A week, when we kind of look at that as far as how many hours that we have in a week. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, do we give 16 hours in serving, in prayer, in study, in reading, and helping and loving people? I mean, wow. Some of you are like, I made it to church today. Check the box, right? It's not what it's about. It's not about coming to church. God doesn't care if you're, I mean, it's the heart, right? It's the heart. It's that we want to give God our time. We want to be sure that we're honoring him in stewardship of everything that he's blessed us with. Now, I'm gonna have the band come up, and I'm gonna land this plane here soon, because I think I beat us up a little bit today. a little bit much. But I want you to understand that stewardship is a lifestyle. I really want you to grab a hold of that. So when I was reading this passage of scripture, it just really popped out to me. Like it's cool to see what a bag of gold looks like, or in another translation, what a talent is. But as I studied the scriptures, the talent, that one bag of gold is equivalent to 20 years. And that just blew me away. Like, wow, this isn't just saying, you just won the lottery, so tithe it. You know, I'm telling you, I've talked to so many people. Like, I would start tithing if I had enough money. I would start tithing if I won the lottery. I would, no. That one servant had one bag of gold. That's it. I mean, he didn't have a lot. And so I'm pleading with you today to understand that this stewardship thing is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. And I know I'm preaching to myself today. I'm telling you, we could all use work. We could all use work. We could all use work at saying, Lord, you own it all anyways. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Lord of my talents. I want you to be the Lord of my gift set. I want you to be the Lord. I want you to be like on the throne, like number one in my time. Like it's okay to have hobbies and fun. I'm not saying that, but saying, man, when we break it down to like 16 hours, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. And so when I wake up in the morning, I know somebody else, you guys do this too, Darren. It's like, Lord, what do you have for me today? What do you have for me today? My day is yours. I may need to do stuff, but you know what? My day is yours. And so you get up saying that every morning, God, let me make a difference in somebody's life today. Maybe let me share my faith with somebody. Let me give a smile to somebody. Let me encourage. My life is yours, 100% of it. My day is yours. And of course, we want to say, Lord, my checkbook, my bank accounts, my investments, my cars, my stuff, my things, they're yours. They're yours. I remember when I can identify with Paul, I guess, and Paul says, I've known what it is to have little and known to have a lot. And I remember when we were in Alpena and we were first church planting, we just said, Lord, yes, we'll go. We'll go. We'll go to this new town and we know no one, and we just went. And I remember we were in a cabin, and it's where we were living at the time, and just kind of we had, I don't know, a couple kids, little ones. No bathtub. And so we were bathing our children in sinks, right? So that was fun. And I remember, like, just kind of feeling that poor me, you know, oh, man, God, you promised to bless us. Oh, God, you didn't. You know, you ever done that before? Like, oh, this really stinks. I wish I had more. We were in that little stage of stupidity. and like God, why? You know, we've served you, we've honored you, we've done so much for you, we've given, and yet here we are bathing our kids in a sink because we're just roughing it in this. And you know what, basically God didn't say this because he's too much of a gentleman, but he's like, shut up, quit complaining. And so as we were faithful, I mean, we never ever said, God, we're gonna just take our talents, our gifts, our money, and we're gonna hoard them for ourselves. And God is faithful. Since then, I've been telling you, God has just been faithful and faithful and faithful. So we sing songs like Great is Thy Faithfulness and the old hymn, and then we sing that whatever that song was today, the great faithful song, and I just tear up, and I can't help but go, yep, I've known what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty, and it's like, God, you've been so faithful no matter what. So you may be finding yourselves in that situation where you're like, oh, poor me, I'm broke, I have nothing. Oh, I would encourage you to say, you know what, keep giving to God. Just give it all over to him. Because you know what? When it's like, oh man, I better stop talking. I better stop. Let me just give praise to God. All right, let me just give praise. God has been faithful. And I promise you, he will be faithful to you. I promise you that when you honor him with your time, with your talents, with your treasure, he is faithful. And you don't got to take my word for it, because there's 100 people in this auditorium that are shaking their heads. Yep, he's faithful. Yep, he's been faithful. Yep, he's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. He's faithful. So if you're feeling low, if you're feeling like, oh, man, this is hard. This is a rough one. I've been hoarding my finances from God. I've been hoarding my talents from God. I've been hoarding my time from God. I want to encourage you to reach out. Reach out in faith. And if you don't have the guts to come to some of those people who are nodding their heads this morning, I mean, do it. Just say, hey, I need help. I need help with this tithing thing. I need help with this giving thing. I need help with, just ask for help. I'm here for you too. I would love to share with you all of the ways that God has been faithful to us when we have been faithful to Him. I think I'm done. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do a work in our lives and continue to do a work in my life. I'm not perfect. I have not arrived. I tell you, God, I need help in so many areas of my life. And I pray, God, for our congregation here. I pray for our church. I pray for those listening online. I pray, God, that if we are hoarding our resources from you, I pray that you would change our hearts. Change our hearts. Change our hearts. Because I love these people, God, I love them, and I don't want to see them like that last servant who is thrown out in the darkness. I don't want to see people like that. I just look at people, go, oh, Lord, please open their eyes and open their hearts towards stewardship, understanding that, Lord, you own it all anyways, and you're just allowing us to steward. You're allowing us to take care of your gifts in the first place. Help us, God. Help us to do that. I'm done talking, and I'll stop. I promise. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now. So can we just give space for the Spirit to speak? Can we just give some room right now for maybe you need to just pray about your anger, pray about your finances, maybe you've been hiding. You know, holding in your gifts and hoarding your time. Can we just give God some time right now to speak to you? So just a little bit before we sing. Let's just let Spirit, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Mm-hmm.